What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Paul. Today is June 23rd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I'm giving away 15% off PL Plus. How am I doing that? Promo code PODCAST. Go sign up today. You also get 15% off PL Pro, and we have our Pro Dashboard coming out very soon this summer. I cannot wait. You get to import all of your fantasy teams, get to see our PL ranks with it, get to see Process Plus for all the players on your free agency, and so many more things. Is putting it into a beta right now with so many features that we're going to be adding throughout the offseason. Can't wait to tell you more about it. So get 15% off PL Pro and PL Plus right now with promo code PODCAST. Jake Bennett is the guy we got to talk about today. 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, 9 strikeouts, and just 72 pitches with 15 whiffs against the Rockies in Coors. So that means he gets the gold star. And yes, he is a swatch. He is a lefty with a tight changeup, where it's 93 miles per hour on fastballs upstairs, and then you have changeups coming down. He also does it at 7-plus feet of extension. There's also a guy that we're going to talk about later on this podcast that had 7.4 feet of extension out of nowhere, but it's not Jake Bennett. Jake Bennett has those two qualities. He threw 32% of his fastballs in the zone against righties. However, he had far more strikes on it at a 65% strike rate. Amazing. And I just wish that Jake Bennett had something else. Jake needs a slider or a sweeper or a cutter that he can really buy into against left-handers, as he threw three of them, two for whiffs. They were all out of the zone. I think the Rockies really shouldn't have swung at those that were out of the zone. I need to see a little bit more, and the Yankees are next. That is the biggest issue. Why? Because they're going to throw a lot of lefties against Jake Bennett, and this was a lot of righties. So I don't know if that one's going to work out. I'm going to keep a close eye on Jake against the Yankees. And if he's showcasing skills to get out lefties effectively, then I would be in thereafter. Kyle Bradish, oh my gosh, two straight starts now. Two of that adorable, beautiful, hot curveball and slider. Oh man, it is great. 88, 89, 85, 86. Those are the velocities of those two breaking balls, which are about 1 to 2 ticks higher than they used to be, and he went 8 innings on 101 pitches against the Angels. I mean, yes, the Angels, I know this, but it was shutout ball with 6 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. That is the good stuff. We are back right now, and now, of course, easier matchup. I get it. But man, if he's throwing those breaking balls that effectively, things are good. Oh, also, I should mention the four-seamer to lefties. This is the pitch that he throws too much in the zone often, and they love to hit this pitch. Yeah, 6 of them thrown, and all of them were up, and he did not get burned once on it. I love it. I love it. Brady Singer I also love too. Man, I've been giving him nothing this year. I've been saying, no, do not touch Brady Singer. And look, for 12 starts, he gave you one that was good across the board. But now Brady Singer has given you 3 straight. And that's 15 starts now. 3 of the 15 games have been beneficial to you, all the last 3. Terrible sentence. 7 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. A much better sentence. 39% CSW here and 106 pitches. I know, surprisingly, this is not good enough for a King Cole at 39% CSW. We'll talk about that guy later. But this was textbook Blake Snell blueprint to left-handers. And it was sinkers up and mid, but up mostly, while the slider and the sweeper were just gorgeous down and in town. Oh my gosh, they combined for a 39% CSW between them to lefties. Yeah, that's good enough for me to start him against the lefties as a questionable start. Not necessarily as a probable, but just it's good enough to be like, okay, you're back on the menu. Is Michael King back on the menu against Atlanta? He certainly looked like it. He got the win, 7 innings of 0 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. However, he gets the Dodgers twice, and the changeup that was the most effective pitch here, 23% swing strikes, 59% strike rate. The sweeper was a good called strike offering, but I'm not really buying the fact that King was locked in and we should take off his tiara and replace it with a crown. I want to see another start here of dominance, if not two, and he gets the Dodgers. This is really a test. I don't think he's ready for it. So even though that Michael King returned 5 strikeouts, which is more than his last 2 starts combined. Yes, it was 4 in those last 2 starts combined. Yeah, even still, I think I would bench against the Dodgers next. Speaking of the Dodgers, you have Eric Lauer. This is insane. This is absolutely insane to me. 6 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits. 6 innings of 0 runs, 0 hits, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. And yeah, 3 whiffs. Okay, 18% CSW. What? He went 6 no-hit frames in 3 whiffs? I mean, this is Koufax being Koufax. 16 out of 16 outs in play. No. He did locate well. I do want to give him that. The four-seamer was really good upstairs to right-handers. Changeup was underneath it a bit. Lots of weak contact, fine, but 16 out of 16, and now you get to go to Sacreverde? No, I can't do it, Eric Lauer. I can with Anthony Kay, though. He went against the Guardians. 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 8 Ks. And yes, I know that they've been just bad, and you can blame it on the Guardians all you want, but he's going to get the Guardians in 2 starts. He's going to get Kansas City next. And this was a game where his sweeper was really good against left-handers and right-handers. He threw it 30% of the time, and he had a 27% swing strike rate on the pitch. Really cool. The four-seamer and cutter play their parts upstairs. The changeup was directly spotted. I mean, beautifully down and away to right-handers. It's what you want to see. Okay. So I want to be encouraged by Anthony Kay. 15 whiffs. It is the Guardians. It will make you more confident. It will make you more impressive. But Royals and Guardians are next now. I feel like I'm okay jumping in on this. Oh my gosh, Brandon Woodruff. I was doing the list yesterday. If you don't know, I do the top 100 every single week. It's why we're called Pitcher List. If you don't know, what are you doing? It is the thing I've done for 11 years. 11 years I've done the list on Mondays. And Brandon Woodruff was in the 50s, but he was pitching as I was putting it out, and I instantly rose him 20 spots to 32 because he went 10 Ks in this still ill outing with 0 runs in 6 innings, 1 hit. I mean, insane. 0 walks. By the way, this day was just a day of amazing pitching. Like, really, just so many good lines. And Brandon Woodruff here surprised me a ton. It was sinkers and four-seamers upstairs. Nothing really that impressive, but he did locate them there. The cutter was pushed aside, and it was strange. He did have like 11 changeups that were okay, but this was just four-seamer sinker dominance. And I'm remembering, hold on a second, didn't a pitcher just dominate with sinkers and four-seamers upstairs against the Reds? He did. It was Cam Schlittler. Oh, come on, Nick. That's different. Well, yeah, he is obviously better, but he also was throwing four-seamers and sinkers upstairs and having success against right-handers. The Reds, maybe we bring back the Reds carpet just a little bit, fellas. This was in Great American Ballpark, too. And again, when Ellie comes back, maybe that's all different. I don't know. Woodruff, you want to roll with him, it's fine. You want Foster Griffin as well on your teams. I mean, he's been a Toby this year, but this was 7.1 innings, 100 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts against the Phillies. Did you realize that Foster Griffin has a 3.15 ERA, 106 whip, and a 24% strikeout rate? Yes, obviously those 9 Ks and 16 whiffs here, you push that up a bit, but if he holds that, he's not a Toby, that's a Holly. Man, one of the best pickups you could have made all year. And if you remember, 10 points for Griffin War suggested he might be this kind of guy, but not even this good earlier on the season. I hope that you've held on to Foster Griffin. Michael Wacha, if you held on to him, you were rewarded with 7 innings and 1 run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. This is after 4 starts of just not doing well. He was against the Rays, though, and now he's going to get the White Sox. I don't really think this was prime Wacha. The changeup wasn't low. The rest of his arsenal just kind of filled the zone, and then the poor offense obliged, right? I think that it would be a little scary against the White Sox, so I'd hold off if I could. Anchipalata against the Snecks was a considerable option for a streamer. I eventually went with Anthony Kay, but I was being between him and Andre. If you went with Andre, you got a win of 6 innings, 1 run, 6 at 0 walks, so you're happy with that, but just 2 strikeouts. And he did go inside with the four-seamer to lefties. The slider was not nearly as good as we've seen. And we also saw the sinker and slider generally be okay against right-handers. I mean, Koufax helped a ton, obviously. He'll get the Marlins at home next. So fine. We keep rolling with that. You have Framber Valdez finally doing the thing we've wanted him to do. Yes, it's the curveball. And he did it against the Yankees and he got a win. You might have been terrified. You might have said, no, I don't want to start Framber Valdez against the Yankees. He's been so bad. But it doesn't matter. Because Framber Valdez does as he does regardless of the opponent. This is what a lot of cherry bombs are like. If they execute what they do, they will have success. And if they don't, well, yeah, they don't. So this was 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 8 Ks. And the hook was back. We had a 40% CSW with the pitch across 63% strikes. And normally we've been seeing like 47% strikes, 52% high strike rate, lots of CSW, 5 over 30 whiffs, and 5 strikeouts. Thank you so much, Valdez. And guess what? Now he gets to host the Astros next. He's going to do it. He's back. I feel good about it. Alan Rangel is someone you should know about. Not Grant Holmes. 4.2 innings of 1 run, 3 hits, 5 walks, and 4 Ks. No, this is a real estate broker from like 2009. You don't want to sign up for this. But Alan Rangel, maybe you do. I'm going to talk about him and so many others like Gavin Williams and Zebby Matthews. What happened to Hunter Brown and Gerrit Cole? Tell you all about that after this break. Alan Rangel. So let me explain this. He was 0-4 in this against the Nationals. 5 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. This is so cool. Alan Rangel does something that I've not seen for a long time. He throws a screwball. And I'm going to show you right now, what is a screwball? As I use my ridiculous ball here that thank you so much for sending my way. Alan Rangel throws a screwball because he throws at such a high arm angle. It's like one of the highest in the majors. And to throw a screwball, essentially what you need to do is, I call it, you have to walk like an Egyptian throwing a curveball. So if you throw a curveball, if you're watching on YouTube right now, you will understand. So definitely go and do that and make sure you like and subscribe, of course. But when you throw a curveball, let's just think about it from straight over the top, right? Here I am with my right hand going straight down. Now you take your arm and you all of a sudden do a walk like an Egyptian thing. Okay. And what that means is now my wrist is totally turned the other way and I'm throwing it like a reverse curveball, as if it's a curveball from the opposite arm. And Rangel, being so over the top, is throwing this curveball at such a degree that it's turning over and it's a reverse curveball. The movement profile on this at times had more horizontal than his four-seamer. And his four-seamer isn't the biggest cut thing ever. It's positive horizontal on a curveball. Unbelievable. And it's not that good. I mean, look, it has 20 inches of break. That's awesome. It's at 72 miles per hour. It's a big boy. It surprised a couple of them, sure. But it is not a consistent offering. Of course not. It's just too big to win. And so it means that Rangel is really this 92 mile per hour four seamer guy and his 80 mile per hour changeup. And that's good. I mean, the 92 is kind of weird. It has a lot of vert, but it's the highest arm slot, save for maybe Yusavage. But I feel like he's even higher than Yusavage. Also, that explains the reverse slider a little bit, doesn't it? Anyway, with Rangel, it could work because he has an Estrada changeup. It is like 80 miles per hour. It just dies. The thing is, he's leaving too high up at the moment. It makes me a little uncomfortable. It worked against the lefties of the Nationals. They didn't really know what they were dealing with. And he's going to get the Mets next. And if he continues to have an opener, Rangel can make it work. He was someone I circled at the beginning of the year as the replacement for Taiwan Walker and or Andrew Painter. And honestly, for the Phillies, it's been incredible where no one got hurt. They just had to move on from Taiwan Walker. But Luzardo and Wheeler, when he came back, and Nola and I already say Luzardo and Painter and there's someone I'm obviously forgetting. And Christopher Sanchez. Rangel has been the guy for a while. It's kind of cool to see him finally appear in June. I'm curious how this will go. There is a slider to right-handers at 84, but it's like just dancing with the disco and not really anything to write home about. It's really about the changeup here. You have Hunter Brown getting removed after 3 innings. Whoa, what? Oh my gosh, is he hurt? Well, no. It was just the fact that he threw 85 pitches. And it was a prime example of why I think that put away rates and 2-strike rate are imperative for you to understand what happened in a game. So 2-strike rate, and I'm talking about the at-bat level. There are two versions of it. There's the 2-strike rate of a single pitch. That means how often is he throwing it when he's in a 2-strike count, right? Or you could say even as in two ways, relative to all the pitches or its own pitch. That is, when he throws a slider, is it in a 2-strike count? Or then when he throws, of all the pitches, how many of them are sliders? It's fine. Don't worry about that. At the at-bat level, 2-strike count is how many batters did you face that saw a two-strike count. And then a put-away rate is how many of the batters who were in a two-strike count actually struck out. So you can't have strikeouts if you don't get the two-strike counts. That's the first one. And then when you get to them, are you efficiently actually getting that third strike? Are you doing that? Or are they getting hits or walks or whatever or outs on two strikes instead of strikeouts? Okay, cool. Hunter Brown, what did he do? 88% of the batters he faced got the two-strike counts. And I'll tell you this. When you see three innings with only one run, that doesn't surprise me. Because the next stat should be a very low put-away rate, and it is. He only had around 27% put-away rate, so for four strikeouts. And if he had a higher put-away rate, this would not have been the case. He would have ended those at-bats quickly. He got to he had two batters that he walked with full counts, and then he had a hit by pitch on a 1-2 pitch. I mean, it's just, you know, his overall put-away rate, that is when he threw a two-strike pitch, how often the time did it return a strikeout? It was an 11% mark. Okay, that is 1 in 9. That is so bad. That is so bad. So that means it was 4 over 36. He threw 36 two-strike pitches, and only 4 of them got the strikeout. Come on. That is not going to happen. Don't worry too much about Hunter Brown. It was just one of those days where he just could not finish his batters. You have Zibby Matthews doing well against the Dodgers. If it weren't for Jake Bend getting the gold star, it would have been Zibby Matthews because it was the Dodgers and went 6 innings of 200 runs. Now it was 8 base runners and 2 and 5 Ks. And yeah, I'm still scared and terrified of Zibby Matthews against tough matchups because he just doesn't have amazing command, and the stuff is worse than it was last year. And I consider him as a 15-team hipster moving forward. I don't want to do it in a 12-teamer. I think the reward is not worth the risk. Look, this is 8 base runners. It's a bad whip. You got 5 strikeouts and 200 runs. If you are not in a quality start league, you didn't get a win. You just got a 3 ERA in this and like 5 Ks. That's all you got. All right. Even I know the Dodgers, we're celebrating it, but still, it's a 15-team hipster. Tyler Phillips also had a good start. 6 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Not really enough for me to get convinced to start Tyler Phillips. And he was really leaning on the splitter and the curve. And I don't really think the sinker and four-seamer are a good enough foundation. I keep going back and forth on Tyler Phillips, and I've been wondering what we're going to see as far as a consistent approach is. This isn't it to me. I do think the sweeper and the curveball at 83-84 can be very good. I mean, they don't have the worst movement, and that's solid velocity for them. But that means that the fastball, the four-seamer, the sinker, and the splitter need to get strikes then. And I just don't really love them doing that. Drew Rasmussen, ace is going to ace. A 1 whip, 3 ERA, 5 Ks. That's in 6 innings of 200 runs for its 2 walks and 5 Ks. Yep, easy, no problem. Call it a day. Ryan Feltner, yeah, he did well against the Red Sox at 6 innings and 200 runs and 8 base runners and 2 Ks. Look, this is, everybody's getting 200 runs or fewer. I know, it's ridiculous. There's only 1, 2, 3 guys who had more than 200 runs. Kind of wild. Ryan Feltner, I'm not going to spend any more time on that. Neither on Dylan Cease, who 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts. Yep, that's Dylan Cease. Kumar Rocker got the golden goal. And he didn't just get it. It was 20 whiffs and a 46% CSW. Now, we have a minimum of 5 innings to win a King Cole or even a Golden Goal as it did here because he had the highest of both. And he did that on the dot at 76 pitches. So it's easier to see the 46% CSW if you have fewer pitches thrown. Of course, it's hard to maintain that through like 100. But 5 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts is remarkable to say the least. I actually removed him from the list before the start, I stated, he doesn't have enough upside. Why are you listening to me? Why are you listening to this podcast? Okay, look, he went Dancing with the Disco with his slider. I mean, really, it was 51% slider usage and had a 51% CSW. 17 over 39 whiffs. And you know what happened? The Marlins decided to go fishing, which I think is a hilarious statement. But they just swung a ton, especially their lefties, at all these sliders from Rocker down, and it was just a field day. It was like Marlins in a barrel for Kumar Rocker. So if you want to take a chance against the Jays, sure, by all Johns, do that. I wouldn't. I don't know. I think Kumar Rocker had a fun day throwing that slider down to lefties and they went after it. It's not a sustainable thing. Gavin Williams went 5 innings and 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. We love this. This is after 3 games of looking bad, essentially, or at least worse. Now, he's still doing the approach that I don't like, which is favoring sinkers over four-seamers. He did it twice the amount, so it was about 15% four-seamers and about 32% sinkers or so. And he only had 27% strikes in the curveball. Yet this was still good. Why? Because the sweeper stepped up. The sweeper was so good against lefties down and inside. And then you also had the four-seamer, which he didn't just not throw. He threw like 12 of them or so. And these pitches, let me tell you, not only were they at 98, which is a tick plus more than usual, Gavin Williams, who has been a guy that has flirted with about 7 feet of extension, threw them at 7.4 feet of extension. So why are you throwing sinkers instead of four-seamers to right-handers? I don't know. Please do that. Please throw more four-seamers to right-handers. It's very, very good now. You have fixed the four-seamer. You can throw it now more than the sinker. Just split them. Just split them. Don't just go. You're not supposed to go extreme to one and the other. You throw both. Look at Woodruff. I point up, like up the article. But seriously, Gavin Williams, I mean, I think this is still part of the process, but something clicked and get excited about it. Merrill Kelly was really bad last time out. We were like, do we do Merrill Kelly? Do we hold on to this? Do we not? This is a very, very poor quality start. 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. Yes, we've entered 3 earned run territory. And it's a Wonka if you don't have him in a quality start league, right? Wonka being you get nothing. Those 2 strikeouts. He's a Toby. That's all there. Sam Aldegari went 4.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. No thanks. You don't want to do that. Now, then there's Garrett Cole. And Garrett Cole went 4.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. Man, he had the worst ERA of all pitchers today. I can't believe that. Garrett Cole did. And what's wild is we've seen the same story. It was bad command, really good stuff. His four-seamer was fine, but everything else, the slider was not going down in arm side, the changeup was up and floated, the curveball wasn't helping enough. Where's the cutter? I don't know. Garrett Cole, hey, you got this. We know he's not going to have this feel for the entire season, right? I do have a small worry that Garrett Cole's slider isn't going to be there because he's worried that it might hurt his elbow. I feel like that's what the problem was before he got hurt. And I wonder if that is going to continue in some way. At the very least, the curveball change cutter should be better. And look, we talk about all the time, command is the last one to come back. It'll be fine. I would be buying low if someone is really worried about Garrett Cole right now. So that is it for this episode of the Plus Pitch Podcast. Make sure you get 15% off PL Pro or PL Plus with promo code PODCAST. And that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low, and your strikeouts high.